Today, how not to do financial education. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. One of the main issues I try to tackle is the lack of basic financial knowledge in the community. I have the view that much of this can be traced back to poor education in our schools, where the true basics of money and how it works should be a core part of the curriculum, but it's not. In fact, I'm surprised how few understand the concept, for example, of compounding interest, or what a true interest rate even is, yet alone the basics of saving or investing. And so now yesterday, ASIC released a, quote, damning school banking report following its exploration of the benefits and risks of school banking programs, and concluded that the purported advantages for subjecting students to the concentrated marketing-laced education are not clearly substantiated. This is important because one of ASIC's core statutory functions, at the moment at least, is to promote confidence and informed participation of consumers in the financial system. Yet the regulator has been under intense pressure from government and industry to lay off their scrutiny of the sector, as illustrated by the proposed removal of their responsible lending guidelines, which may well be switched to a narrower risk-based approach under APRA. More of that in a later post, but remember that the Financial Royal Commission basically said, don't change it. Indeed, the Financial Review reported today that the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, is working on an overhaul of ASIC's overall structure ahead of a shake-up next year that is likely to include fewer full-time commissioners and help for businesses to understand who's in charge of regulating their activities. And by the way, a decision on the future of Australian Securities and Investments Commission Chairman James Shipton is yet to be made, with an outcome expected in the new year after an investigation is handed to the Treasurer later this month. Now, the FIN says businesses have complained that ASIC's legislative structure of up to 8 commissioners, a chairman, 2 deputy chairs, and 5 other commissioners has made it difficult to understand who is their contact point for regulatory matters and caused ASIC's leaders to cut across each other's turf. Although ASIC is currently operating with a slimmed-down 4 commissioners following Mr. Shipton's temporary stand-down, Mr. Crennan's departure, and the government not reappointing former Commissioner John Price. While the full-time ASIC commissioners set the strategy of the organisation, beneath them there are dozens of senior executive leaders running the day-to-day operations on financial services and wealth, credit, retail banking, and payments, insurance, financial advisors, investment managers, superannuation, markets, corporations, insolvency, financial reporting, market infrastructure, market supervision, governance, misconduct, licensing, and small businesses and enforcement. Now, the FIN says that sources familiar with the Treasurer's thinking said that he wanted ASIC to stray less into policy making that Treasury is in charge of, such as its failed responsible lending case against Westpac, financial sector regulation, climate change disclosures by companies, and other unusual interventions, such as installing psychologists in boardrooms. Instead, the government wants ASIC to focus on chasing blatant corporate misconduct and protecting consumers with new powers, and the powers that the government gave ASIC following the Hayne Royal Commission into financial services, criticising the regulator for being too soft. Well, I would argue that it has done much better than APRA, which is more or less completely captured by the industry. And there is a strong chance that ASIC will be detuned further when, in fact, as the Royal Commission and the Productivity Commission both observed, the interests of consumers were not adequately being addressed. And so with that introduction, let's go back to that school banking report, which is report number 676, which sets out the key findings of their review of school banking programs. Now, the review was undertaken to determine the benefits and risks of school banking programs, as it sought to identify why banks, schools, and students engage with these programs, understand whether banks assess the impact of their programs on student savings habits, and analyze the long-term impact on children of marketing through these programs. As part of the review, ASIC conducted qualitative and quantitative consumer research, carried out public consultation, and engaged with financial institutions that offer school banking programs, school banking providers, if you like, as well as accountable state and territory education authorities. A literary review on the impact of marketing to young people was also commissioned, and to complete the review, they engaged with school banking program providers to understand how their programs operate and analyze documents obtained from providers to understand how school banking programs are measured and evaluated, engaging a consumer researcher to undertake qualitative and quantitative consumer research with school authorities, parents, and current and former students to understand their experiences and expectations of school banking programs, and they procured academic research to better understand the impact on children of marketing through these programs. And they also undertook a public consultation process seeking responses to questions on school banking programs, and in fact they received over 1,200 responses and submissions from individuals and organizations. Also consulted state and territory education authorities to understand existing school banking programs, policies and practices. And this is what they found. School banking programs claimed to help children develop long-term saving habits. However, providers were unable to demonstrate that these programs in and of themselves improve savings behavior. Payments to schools for implementing school banking programs incentivize schools to encourage greater participation in the programs. Young children are vulnerable consumers and are exposed to sophisticated advertising and marketing tactics by school banking program providers, and school banking program providers fail to effectively disclose that a strategic objective of these programs is consumer acquisition. Now, based on the findings from the review, ASIC has developed a set of questions which school communities could consider to assist them in assessing and implementing school banking programs. Now, of course, a set of questions is not the same as regulation. School banking programs facilitate the establishment of bank accounts for students. These programs support arrangements for students to make ongoing deposits into these accounts at school. And ASIC, they said, is aware that a number of banks and other financial institutions also offer financial literacy education programs to schools, which is designed to build understanding of key financial concepts. As these programs are not promoting a financial product, they were not captured in the review that they did. ASIC regulates the deposit accounts which must be opened in order for a student to participate in these programs. The ADIs that issue these deposit accounts must comply with their Australian Financial Services licence obligations under the Corporations Act of 2001, including the requirement to provide financial services efficiently, honestly, and fairly. Consumer advocate group RateCity.com.au has called state and territory governments to kick banks out of primary schools. The group recently conducted a survey of 1,000 respondents and found that over half of Australians used a school banking program as a child, and that 34% of that group still bank with the same institution as adults, even some into their late 60s. They argue this proves the early exposure to banking did not improve these people's financial confidence later in life, but instead fostered complacency at worst. At best, it seems using school banking as a child made little difference to how confident people felt about managing their finances later in life. And Sally Tyndall, the research director at Rate City, said the damning report has made clear the weaknesses of letting banks into Australian schools to teach kids about money. She said, if McDonald's came into schools to teach kids about healthy eating, there would be an outcry. When it comes to teaching kids about money, parents and teachers should be taking the reins, she said. There are cash incentives for schools that sign students up, and that's effective marketing for, say, CBA to get customers, sometimes for life. there must be a better way to teach our kids about money that doesn't involve kickbacks. Schools should be a safe environment where kids aren't exposed to financial marketing and advertising. And just last month, the Victorian government replaced the Dollarmites scheme with curriculum-linked financial lessons. Following this review, Bendigo Bank, IMB, Northern Inland and South West Credit have or are in the process of terminating their banking programs. And Victoria will ban all school banking programs, including the Commonwealth Bank's well-known Dollarmites, worth about $10 billion to the CBA, following ongoing concerns that banks and financial institutions were using inappropriate tactics to lure children and promote credit cards. Leading consumer group Choice is now calling for other states to follow Victoria's lead and outlaw the controversial school financial literacy programs. School banking has been hit with a series of scandals in recent years. This has included an exposure by The Age and Sydney Morning Herald in 2018 that CBA staff had fraudulently set up thousands of accounts in the names of children without parental consent to claim bonuses. And in 2019, it emerged that junior primary school children, some as young as 8 years old, were being introduced to the concept of credit cards through their school banking program. Victorian Minister of Education James Molyneux has announced the ban, saying the Victorian school curriculum included financial literacy. Victorian students deserve high-quality financial literacy, free from commercial interest. That's why we're banning financial institutions from delivering school banking programs, he said. The Victorian curriculum sets up our expectations for financial literacy, and that must be our focus. It is time to draw a line under this issue. The state government's concern include complaints from students, teachers and families about the quality of the education and the financial literacy outcomes of the programs. There are also concerns about the tactics some banks have used, including luring children with prizes to build brand loyalty in young children. Another concern is the interest rate offered through the school banking programs, which are low compared to adult banking products. The corporate watchdog ASIC reviewed school banking programs in 2019 and found serious issues with elements of the programs. And consumer group Choice has called upon other state and territory governments to follow the Victorian government's move to ban the programs. Programs like the Commonwealth Bank's Dollarmites are little more than slick marketing programs aimed at primary school-aged children, Choice Chief Executive Alan Kirkland said. Choice has never been able to find any evidence that programs like the Dollarmites have any impact on long-term saving habits. The only impact they have is to give the Commonwealth Bank a steady stream of young customers, many of whom stick with the Commonwealth later in life. So we welcome the Victorian government's commitment to genuine financial literacy programs, he said. And asked if it would introduce a similar ban on school bank accounts, New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian and Education Minister Sarah Mitchell declined to comment. Sarah Tindall agrees that Australia's other states and territory governments should follow Victoria's lead and replace school banking with financial literacy lessons. Learning about money is a life skill, but right now it's buried in the curriculum. It should be a standalone subject. And the Banking Royal Commission ably demonstrated that the banks in particular can't be trusted. As one cynical parent observed in the ASIC report, I feel like it is just a way for the banks to get my child's information and as soon as they turn 18, send them a credit card offer. This was reported by Nine News as school banking programs take advantage of vulnerable customers. And Nine's Freya Noble, a senior producer, said school banking programs do not help children with long-term finances and are taking advantage of vulnerable consumers, a report has found. The key findings said providers were unable to demonstrate claims the schemes improve saving habits and failed to disclose they're essentially used to acquire customers. Young children are vulnerable consumers and are exposed to sophisticated advertising and marketing tactics by school banking program providers, ASIC said in the report. School banking program providers fail to effectively disclose that a strategic objective of these programs is customer acquisition. As at June 2020, ASIC figures show that 4,000 schools, about 63% of primary schools, offer school banking, while there are about 180,000 accounts, representing about 8% of students. And the overwhelming majority of children have accounts with the Commonwealth Bank at 175,138 school children with CBA accounts through its Dolomites program. That's over 92% market share. And of course, that was embroiled in scandal back in 2018, as we mentioned above. The CEO of Consumer Choice said programs are nothing more than marketing schemes. This is the first time ever in over a century that these school-based marketing schemes have been reviewed, Choice CEO Alan Kirkland said. ASIC has painted a damning picture of school banking programs, making it clear that a key objective of programs is to recruit customers at a young age. ASIC found that banks like the CBA fail to be transparent about the commercial objectives and haven't even bothered to evaluate the effectiveness of their programs. And the review looked at 10 banking programs offered to schools across the country, including the Commonwealth Bank, Bendigo and Adelaide Bank, Heritage Bank, Hume Bank and IMB. In July, of course, Bendigo, IMB and Southwest Credit advised ASIC they will be terminating their school banking programs in light of the key findings of the review and changed school environments, such as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. IMB's program finished on the 31st of August, while Bendigo confirmed on September the 30th their program had been wound up. On December the 2nd, Northern Inland also advised ASIC that it would be closing its program, but CBA's program continues. We welcome other providers like Bendigo and Adelaide Bank winding up their school marketing program in the light of this ASIC review. That is the ethical thing to do, Mr. Kirkland said. CBA should follow their lead and stop paying money to schools to get them to sign up primary school children as customers. CBA said it worked with ASIC through the report. Whilst we acknowledge some of the findings, we do not believe they are entirely consistent with international research or our own, and we do not agree with the overall assessment of school banking programs, a statement on its website reads. Executive General Manager, Customer Service Network, Mark Jones, said the program reinforces the importance of regular savings, equips students with the knowledge of how to access and use bank accounts, and provide structure for parents to support their children to save regularly. He said CBA's own research showed higher satisfaction with the program and have made significant changes to the scheme in recent years. Now, as Caitlin Fitzsimmons, a senior writer at the SMH, said, when I was 6 years old, I was a member of the school banking program. Every Tuesday, I took my banking passbook and a dollar to school, and the deposit was duly entered into my bank balance. At home, I had a rectangular money box with the facade of a grand bank building in green and gold and the title Commonwealth Bank of Australia. I can't say, she said, I learned anything from this exercise apart from reinforcing and simple addition. The interest rate was too puny to provide any meaningful demonstration of the value of compounding. The main legacy was the fact that I still had a Commonwealth Bank account years later. That, I now realise, was the point. And second, the fact that banks often paid the schools was an incentive for principals to agree to participate, rather than basing the decision on educational merit. Third, young children are vulnerable consumers exposed to sophisticated advertising and marketing tactics by school banking providers. And finally, the providers fail to effectively disclose that customer acquisition is a strategic objective of the program. Yet, as expected, the Fin Review's Alex Voshu headlines, states defy ASIC on school banking risks. State education departments, he wrote, are standing by the Commonwealth Bank's controversial $10 billion Dolomites Club, despite the corporate regulators finding that school banking programs target vulnerable young children and a statewide ban in Victoria. ASIC on Tuesday released the finding of its probe into school banking programs, concluding that financial institutions failed to disclose they are aimed at recruiting customers. The review was launched in October 2018. ASIC wrote to state and territory education authorities in September to alert them to the damning findings, prompting a ban on school banking programs from the Andrews Labor government in Victoria. But according to ASIC, the Queensland Department of Education responded that it would continue with its policy of contracting CBA to provide school banking programs in spite of the regulators' concerns. And other states and territories responded that responsibility for school banking programs rested with school principals and P&C associations, but they would note the regulators' findings. We do not manage any commercial arrangements with financial institutions relating to banking services for students, a spokeswoman for the West Australian Department of Education told the Financial Review. As this review found that students were exposed to sophisticated advertising and marketing tactics by participating in school banking programs, the programs failed to effectively disclose that a strategic objective of these programs is customer acquisition, it concluded. And while banks say these school programs help children develop long-term savings and prudent personal finance habits, ASIC found no evidence that they in themselves improve savings behaviour. CBA is the only major bank to provide a school banking programme. It launched its first such initiative back in 1931, and what later became known as the Dolomite Club is widely seen as a big driver of the dominance of Australia's largest bank in the retail deposit market. The Dolomites programme was worth about $10 billion to CBA. Other financial institutions included Bendigo and Adelaide Bank, Heritage Bank, Hume Bank, IMB Bank, and a number of regional credit unions, all offering school banking programs. However, CBA is by the far the largest provider of school banking, with 125,000 out of 180,000 accounts related to a school program, or 97% of the market. And CBA paid $2.4 million in commissions to schools and parent associations in 2017-18, $2.1 million in 2018-19, and it slashed its contribution to school banking commissions by half to $1.2 million in 2020. Our school banking program reinforces the importance of regular savings, equips students with the knowledge of how to access and use a bank account, and provides structure for parents to support their children to save regularly, Mark Jones was quoted once again. We are proud of the program and the positive impact it delivers. The bank said its internal research found 80% of parents with a child enrolled in a CBA school banking program found it valuable, and it's updated its material in line with feedback from ASIC and made changes to its incentives to remove the link between payments and the number of accounts opened or amount deposited. 63% of respondents to ASIC's research said they supported financial institutions offering bank accounts to students, while 51% indicated that they had concerns about banks marketing to children. The review included no recommendations for reform, instead it listed a number of questions school communities should ask themselves before initiating a bank program. They included whether the program has a clear educational purpose, whether risk assessments have been undertaken, and whether they have considered the impact of any incentives. Philosophically, our schools should be non-commercial zones as much as possible. And I think we should object to any marketing and advertising to children under the guise of education. There's also little evidence the program really helps teach financial literacy. The school banking programs are not supported by the teachers. The Australian Education Union has previously argued bank-run schemes have no place in schools and financial literacy education should be delivered by teachers. It's already part of the curriculum in both primary and secondary schools, and it could be expanded. Although, personally, I think the scope is still way too narrow. They are not supported by consumer exports. Choice, as we said earlier, had conducted research finding 46% of people opened their first account with CBA and a third of people had stayed with their first bank. Nor are they supported by the academic research cited by ASIC, which found children aged 5 to 13 could not understand the nuance enough to be informed consumers of a financial product, and that the association with the school gave the brand an unearned trust halo. Admittedly, they do have some support from parents. A national survey of 1,349 people conducted by ASIC suggested 61% of parents participating students would be furious if the program stopped. However, the same research found 68% of parents of participating children were concerned about banks marketing to primary school students. Ultimately, we don't think that parents are wedded to school banking programs. They just want to teach their children financial literacy, and that's a good thing. But there are better ways to achieve this. And that's a problem, though, with many parents not understanding financial matters very well on their own terms. And so what chance do children have unless there is a broader emphasis on financial knowledge and education? Given the unequal relationship between households and the financial services sector, there is a significant and ongoing need to provide better and more comprehensive sources of real knowledge and insight. Perhaps that's something that DFA can play a role in, but in the meantime, to my mind, those school banking programs should be abolished immediately. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.